You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena Jenna, how are you?
You know, damp.
Damp, soggy.
Damp, but okay.
Yeah, nice to have you in here, bringing us a bit of witty humaira this morning.
Yes, I thought I would bring witty for Matariki. We've got a short week this week, so that's very exciting. So this book is called Tangi. This is by Witty Ihimaira, and it's the 50-year anniversary edition. This came out in 1973.
Oh my God, 50 years ago. That is crazy.
We were but a, all three of us were but a...
twinkling something.
Yeah. And he wrote this book when he was 29. This is the first novel published by a Māori person in New Zealand's history.
What?
And it won the James Wattie Book of the Year at the time. So this is the perfect book, I think, to review for this week.
Yeah, hard out.
And he's also re-edited it. He's re-edited it before in the mid-2000s, and so this is a new edition, which I think is super interesting.
Totally.
So this is about a guy called Tama. He gets a phone call at the start of the book. He lives in Wellington, and his father has died suddenly, and he has to travel back to Waituhi, where he's from on the east coast, for the tangi. So it is a deep and meaningful musing on the grief of a parent.
Mm.
So it's very heavy, but I don't want to say that and put you off, but it's just the most beautiful musing on why someone, or when someone goes, how that feels, and also the three-day process of the tangi arriving at the marae, and who's there on what day, and the roles that play, and how the hapu just like align themselves to make something happen when it's really shocking.
Totally. You're right. This is a perfect one for Matariki, you know, thinking about people who've passed away. This is the time of year for that. I think this is a good time if you haven't read this book before. I haven't read this book before. I've definitely read parts of it. I'm pretty sure we read some of it at school as well, but it's one of those writers who's just put such a like imprint on New Zealand literature.
Exactly. Can I read you a little bit of it?
Yes, please.
Because what I really like about it is that it's written in English. There's a lot of Māori language throughout it, but then it involves, like, the way he describes the grieving process is, like, using pūrākau, so myth. He uses, for example, he uses te wehe o rangi rau ko papa, the separation of rangi and papatūānuku, as a metaphor for him needing to leave Waituhi and go to Wellington. He needs to break them apart and see the light. And then using the realms of te kore, the darkness, the void, to te ao Maurama as the process of grieving through this tangi. He uses a lot of kupu whakarite, the metaphor that are very similar of birds, whenua, with it in English to explain his sorrow. Okay, so the book moves between him finding out, preparing to leave, and then the tangi, so, and catching the train up. Spiraling time takes me back to Wellington again, 2 weeks before, when a telephone call from Waituhi destroyed the calm of my world. Dad's dead. My eyes have surprised me. Me te kaia ohia te roi mata ia ho. Like driving rain have come my tears. He puna wai kai ako kamo. The deep reservoir that held them has overflowed and they cannot be stopped. The tide of grief overwhelms me. And guilt. Why am I still here? Seaweed drifts upon the swelling waves. Rimu, rimu, tere, tere. Seaweed drifting. And where has the smallest derelict waka disappeared to? Capsized by the wind, it is gone down into the lamenting sea.
Oh, wow.
So sad.
But also amazing. Yeah. Like, that's such transporting language that...
I think so, yes. I agree. I think this is the perfect book to have on hand in preparation if you were needing to look for a passage or a paragraph to write in a sympathy card or read out at a funeral or to pass on words to someone. I think this would be really awesome to... He like, says... He describes in words, which I think a lot of people can't describe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like super in te ao Māori, but then also that tension of the family are itinerant farm workers for a lot of the book, so he describes moving around and then him starting school, waiting outside to be mihied onto the school grounds and no one arriving, getting strapped for speaking te reo, and then, but actually thriving in the te ao Pākehā, within that world of education, Pākehā education, and leaving the family. Mm. And having to, and because he's the oldest son, does he need to go back to the farm and run everything? Because everyone's asking him what to do now because they've turned to him.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wow. Good time to read this book. Remind us of, actually, before we get into that, why has he decided to re-edit it now? For the second time?
I've read a few interviews and articles about this, and I think it's just sitting within the context of now. You think of when this book was published, I think someone said to him, well, no Māori people are going to read this, so you need to write it to fit within a Pākehā audience. And so there's a really great article in The Spin-off, which I can send to you guys to link, but... where they've compared a paragraph and it's just got a bit more context of colonization within the background of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's a bit of a project he's embarked on, which
that's cool.
I think it's super interesting. Yes, so Tangi Witi Ihi Maira, 50-year anniversary edition. It is $30, I'm 99% sure, and it's published by Penguin Books. It's on the shelf now.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jenna. We'll see you in the shop.
See you.
That was Loose Reads.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.